This is the Everyday AI Show, the everyday podcast where we simplify AI and bring its power to your fingertips. Listen daily for practical advice to boost your career, business, and everyday life.
There's a brand new GPT model out right now. You can go use it, play with it, explore, discover, test it. But here's the thing. No one really knows what it is. Is this the next version of ChatGPT? Are we looking at GPT 4.5, GPT-5, or is this something else? Well, we're going to be talking about this new GPT-2 chatbot today and more on Everyday AI. What's going on, y'all? Thanks for tuning in. My name is Jordan Wilson. I'm the host of Everyday AI, and this is for you. It is your guide to learning and leveraging generative AI to grow your company and grow your career. So we do this every single weekday on the podcast. So if you're listening on the podcast, thank you. We appreciate it. As always, check your show notes. Make sure you check those out for more information. If you're on the live stream, thanks for joining us as well. And make sure you check out our free daily newsletter if you haven't already at youreverydayai.com. All right, so we are going to get into a good amount of depth into this new mystery GPT-2 chatbot model. I played with it myself a little, maybe like 2 hours between last night and this morning. So I have some observations and some observations that I don't even think have been shared yet. But before we get into that, let's do as we always do. Let's start off with going over the AI news. And hey, as a reminder, do make sure we are going to be giving away the Meta Ray-Bans today. So make sure to check out the newsletter where we're going to announce the winners. Make sure you do that. All right, let's talk about AI news. So Google just unveiled a new model for healthcare purposes. So Google just released MedGemini, which it hopes will revolutionize multimodal healthcare. So MedGemini is built on Gemini 1 and 1.5 and can be easily be adapted to new medical modalities with custom encoders, showcasing promise in accurate multimodal dialogues, particularly in radiology and dermatology images. So MedGemini's outputs are preferred over drafts in their initial testing. They're preferred over drafts from clinicians for tasks like simplifying or summarizing lengthy medical notes, drafting referral letters, or demonstrating practical applications beyond benchmarking performance. So the introduction of MedGemini promises more accurate multimodal conversations regarding medical images, surgical videos, just a lot of things. So pretty exciting news there from Google Gemini and their new medical large language model. All right, speaking of Google and large language models, Apple has reportedly been just pulling from Google staff to build its AI team. So according to reports, Apple has tried to significantly expand its AI team and resources, particularly targeting employees from Google and also establishing a secretive European laboratory. So Apple is focused on deploying generative AI on its next mobile device, which we talked about here on the show a lot. But it is facing challenges in not just utilizing the technology due to data and memory limitations, but also finding the right people to help them build it. According to reports, Apple has poached dozens of AI experts from Google and has also established a somewhat secretive laboratory in Zurich to expand its global AI and machine learning team. So Apple is particularly interested in deploying generative AI on its mobile devices, but faces limitations such as data and memory constraints. Also, as if you follow along on the newsletter, we share this every day, especially in the last couple of months, Apple has acquired a lot of AI startups and has been investing heavily in AI research and development for over a decade. And like we talked about yesterday in our weekly Monday News That Matters show, Apple's kind of been flip-flopping if they're going to partner up with Google Gemini for their next iPhone and iOS, or if they're going to be working with OpenAI. So we're not sure, but hey, they've been poaching a lot of people from Google, apparently. All right, last but not least in the AI news, Drake has removed an AI-generated diss track that featured the late Tupac and also Snoop Dogg. So Drake, the very popular artist who sings and raps, I'm not a fan, but some people are, but Drake took down his AI-generated diss track, Taylor Made, after receiving a legal threat from Tupac Shakur's estate for unauthorized use of the late Tupac Shakur's voice. So the diss track drew attention for its deepfake manipulation of voices and sparked legal action. It actually sounded pretty realistic. I was surprised, right? We've heard some of these AI generated tracks before, and this one was actually pretty good. You know, who knows? Maybe for me to like a Drake song, he has to clone Tupac's voice. But Drake's track was actually though seen as hypocritical because he had previously condemned AI deepfakes of his own voice and had actually taken legal action against unauthorized use. Snoop Dogg, though, reacted humorously to the situation, posting an Instagram video expressing bewilderment at the events. All right, so we're going to have a lot more AI news, so don't you worry. Every single day, we break down the conversation as well as different news, fresh finds from across the internet, so make sure to go to youreverydayai.com and sign up for that daily newsletter. And hey, thank you for our live stream audience joining us. As always, hey, I'm curious, has anyone out there used this new it's the GPT-2 chatbot. So we're going to get into some of the naming. We're going to get into the rumors. We're going to get into what this means. I'm going to give you some of my first impressions, but I'm curious if anyone out there listening on our live stream has already explored this. So whether it's, Tara joining us from Nashville, Dr. Harvey Castro. Hey, Dr. Harvey Castro, what do you think of the new Gemini Med? Right? That should be good. Juan joining us from Chicago. Cecilia joining us from Columbia. Love it. Woozy and Ross, thank you all for joining us. So a couple things I'm going to put out there. If I sound a little weird, if I look a little weird, apologies. I just had a root canal actually. So my mouth feels a little weird from talking. I might be puffed up. So, in case you're wondering why does Jordan seem off today? That's probably why. All right. But what also seems off is this new GPT-2 chatbot model out in the wild. All right. So let's talk a little bit about this. So you are not going to find this new mystery model by logging into ChatGPT. Actually, the only place that you can find this model right now is the chatbot arena. So if you haven't used this before, let me just tell you real quick what this is. And I highly, highly recommend it. So if you ever are on Hugging Face, they link to this, but this is actually on a site. It's just called chat.lmsys.org. Okay, so this is what is commonly referred to as the LMSYS chatbot arena. It's where you can benchmark large language models in the wild. You can play with a variety of different models. So right now, it's the only place that you can use this as far as, at least as of last night. So I was lucky enough to get to use it. It got super, super busy and crowded because, Reddit and Twitter and even LinkedIn, everything was blowing up saying like, oh, this is the new GPT-5, the next version of ChatGPT. I'll start here. I don't think it is, if I'm being honest. I don't think it is. I do have some thoughts on what this may be. But if you do want to give it a try, you're just going to go to the chatbot arena and then click on direct chat. And then you can always, if you have never heard of the chatbot arena, I should probably do a dedicated episode because it's something I use a lot. You can essentially put in a prompt and you can get back two different responses from two different large language models. So it's not going to tell you which one it is until you vote on which one is better. And then from there, that's actually where they have a leaderboard. So a lot of times we talk about, a chatbot leaderboard. That's what this is. So, it's from these blind scores. They're called like Elo scores. So if you're familiar with chess, that's kind of what it is. So it's kind of two competitors side by side and who wins. And it's average people who don't know which, whether it's Claude 3 Opus or, Google Gemini or, GPT-4 Turbo, or maybe it's, Command R or, Mistral, right? So you're going to see just two head, like side by side responses to whatever input that you put in for a prompt. Or you can just go and click the direct chat and use this model by itself. right? It is much slower, right? Because it's free to use. You don't even have to have an account. So the downside is, you know, even if you're using, as an example, GPT-4 Turbo or Gemini or Claude Opus, which on their, you know, on their actual platforms are very fast, right? So on the chatbot arena, they're not. So that's probably how they keep it free. It is throttled. You know, it's not really meant for you to, you know, go actually use this output. It's meant for you to actually go play around with models and kind of score them as well. So with that out of the way, that is the only place that you can get it or use it right now. It is not available for download, and not a lot is actually known about this new GPT-2-chatbot model. No one's sure who put it up there. We don't know if it was a leak. We don't know if it's authorized. We don't know if, even if this is OpenAI's model, we assume it is, and I'm going to get into that here in a minute. We don't know a lot. All we do know is so far, it has been performing very, very well. Also interesting, normally when models come out within a couple of hours to a day, they show up on the leaderboard rankings, right? We talked about that because when we covered the new Llama 3, we talked about how pretty quickly, at least especially on the English, right? So you can sort the models by performance or by language, and by English, you know, Llama right away within a day or two was already number two English model. It's number three as of today. But usually within a couple hours to a day, these different models are going to be showing up on the ranking charts. So for whatever reason, at least as of the time of this live stream, this new GPT-2 chatbot is not even showing up on the arena leaderboard, which is weird because you can go in right now and vote for it. So make sure, check out today's newsletter. Maybe it'll change within a couple of hours, but right now it hasn't. All right, and here's the other thing. If any of you know this, we don't really cover a lot of rumors on this show, right? Because literally, hey, and this is technically Hot Take Tuesday, so let me just get into Hot Take here. I can't stand people on Twitter and people on Reddit, because, you know, I'm not exaggerating, multiple times a week for the past couple of months, you know, it's always, oh, GPT-5's out. You know, Sam Altman just gave an interview, you know, the CEO of OpenAI, he just said this about the future of, you know, ChatGPT. So that means ChatGPT-5 is out. It's not, right? So let me be clear. This is not, as far as I'm concerned, my personal opinion is this is not GPT-5. Could this be GPT-4.5? Maybe. Could it be a slimmed down version of GPT-4? Possibly. And I'm going to get to that here in a second. But normally, like I said, normally we do not cover rumors because it's every single day that there's rumors. However, this model is live, at least on the chatbot arena, which usually only happens when a model is officially released. So this is kind of the first time that I've seen, right? And I use this chatbot arena leaderboard site pretty much every day, at least a couple of times a week. This is the first time I've seen what appears to be a very capable model that does not have some sort of release notes tied to it, that does not have, you know, some that does not exist anywhere else, right? So if you go on the normal, you know, repositories where you can download open models, it's not there. So don't think this is an open model. Maybe it could be. We're not sure. We're not sure how big it is. We're not sure if this is, you know, 165 billion parameters, 2 billion parameters, or a trillion parameters. We're not sure how this model was trained. We don't know a lot about this model, but here's what we do know. It's probably more than an average rumor, maybe, because CEO Sam Altman did at least acknowledge this existence. So on Twitter, this was last night, he did say, "I do have a soft spot for GPT-2.
Hey, this is Jordan, the host of Everyday AI. I've spent more than 1,000 hours inside ChatGPT, and I'm sharing all of my secrets in our free Prime Prompt Polish ChatGPT course that's only available to loyal listeners like you. Here's what Lindy, who works as an educational consultant, said about the PPP course.
I couldn't figure out why I wasn't getting the results from ChatGPT that I needed and wanted. And after taking the PPP course, I now realize that I was not priming correctly. So I will be heading back into ChatGPT right now to practice my priming, prompting, and polishing.
everyone's prompting wrong, and the PPP course fixes that. If you want access, go to podppp.com. Again, that's podppp.com. Sign up for the free course and start putting ChatGPT to work for you.
All right, so a couple other things to even just think about the naming mechanism here, okay? I noticed this right away, and I'm like, oh, okay, am I crazy? But I saw a lot of other people were talking about this, but even in Sam Altman's tweet, so if you're listening on the podcast, you probably don't see this, but for our live stream audience, you'll know that there's no dash. There's no dash in GPT-2. So obviously, there was a GPT-2 that was released many years ago, right? So it was actually released in 2019. So a lot of people, some of the rumors or some of the thought is, okay, is this just a very fine-tuned version of that original model from 2019? It could be, right? It could be an extremely fine-tuned version that OpenAI has maybe cracked the compute code, and maybe this is something that they're showing off, is that they can, fine tune a very old, very small model. GPT-2 was 1.5 billion parameters. So that could be a thing, right? Because over the last couple of weeks, the small model game has exploded, right? Exploded. So with Microsoft Phi 3, if you follow small models, with Llama 3 from Meta, so you have Meta and Microsoft, two of the four biggest players in the generative AI space right now. So Meta and Microsoft over the last 3 weeks have both released very small, very capable models that are only a couple billion of parameters. And that really, I think, kind of changed not only what we can imagine to be possible with generative AI, but also maybe how models are built and used in the future, right? Because the tremendous upside of these smaller, more capable models that are only couple billion parameters, like Meta 3's smaller model, like this new Microsoft Phi, is they can be run locally, right? And when you can run models locally, that changes what is capable, right? Like that changes what even society, like what we are capable to do with large language models. Mainly the reason is when you're running a reported 1.8 trillion parameter model like GPT-4 Turbo, the latest model from OpenAI, that requires a lot of compute, right? Like, so it requires so much compute that Sam Altman, the CEO, is out there trying to raise $7 trillion to try to, build or buy more chips. You know, they're out there. They created a partnership with Microsoft called Stargate, $100+ billion data center. So these very, very large models, there's a downside to them. They require a lot of energy, like more energy than we probably have access to right now, which is why, sometimes we get into, the toll on the environment that these very large language models play. So over the last couple of weeks, when we've seen Microsoft's Phi 3, Meta's Llama 3, very capable models that are only a couple billion of parameters, whereas GPT-4 was reportedly 1.8 trillion. So that does change it. So, part of me thinks that, okay, this is an official model from OpenAI. There isn't even a claim aside from this tweet, right? And this really set it off, but there was no dash, right? The GPT-2 model itself, released in February of 2019, is GPT-2. Sam Altman put a little cryptic tweet up last night saying, I do have a soft spot for GPT-2, no dash. So a lot of people are saying, okay, maybe this is just a new naming mechanism, right? Everything we've talked about before was just GPT with a dash, right? And then a version of it. And this is GPT-2. So maybe we get into this new thing where it's GPT-2-1 or, GPT-2- and then giving it like a name like you do with operating systems. No one knows. All we know is this model that came out, it is small, it is very capable. All right, so let's get into that a little bit here. And hey, if you do have any questions or comments, let me know. So yeah, Tara's saying she hasn't tinkered with it yet, but she's excited to. And we are going to have all the links in the newsletter, so you can just go click and use it. And here's the thing: literally, the rest of the internet is stuck on this because when this model, when you use it in the direct chat, so like I referenced, you will only get 8 chats and then it's timed out. And also, even as of right now, or when I looked about 30 minutes ago, it was down. But I found a secret way that you can still use it. So make sure to check out the newsletter and I'll tell you that. All right. So let's just go straight into some of the things that I did find out that I didn't see a lot of other people talking about. So one thing that kind of caught my attention is I did ask this new GPT-2 chatbot. I said, please be short and tell me what your training data cutoff is, right? When is your knowledge cutoff? And it said November 2023. I should put this out there. Asking a large language model specific questions about itself is never the best idea, right? You can sometimes ask, as an example, a llama, like, hey, what are you trained off of? Or, you know, tell me about what model you are. And sometimes it might say, oh, I'm GPT, right? Which is not true. So asking a model certain questions and you know, saying, hey, this is truth, this is fact, not always the best route. However, I did confirm this. I ran this same version in, you know, multiple instances of this new GPT-2 chatbot, and I got the same response over and over. So the November, if this GPT-2 chatbot is from November 2023 knowledge cutoff, that tells me a couple of things. One, it's maybe a newer model, right? Because again, the actual GPT-2 was from 2019, and I believe it had a knowledge cutoff of 2017. But it also tells me it's fairly recent, right? Whether this is an actual model from OpenAI, whether a researcher leaked it, you know, we did see a couple researchers, kind of get let go or fired from OpenAI about a month ago after there was some leaks. So could this be a leak? We don't know. But the November 2023 date, I think, is important because the most up-to-date model right now from OpenAI is December 2023. So presumably, if this is, in theory, a GPT model from OpenAI, you can make the assumption that it's a very recent model and it's not necessarily just a fine-tuned version of the GPT-2 model from 2019. All right. One other thing that I saw, and again, I'm gonna make my screen a little bigger here for our live stream audience. I'm telling you all, take this with a grain of salt, right? It's Hot Take Tuesday, so I'm just coming in here. I'm telling you guys exactly what I think. What I think this is. What I think this isn't. But I did ask ChatGPT GPT-2 chatbot. I said, what are you built on? Tell me a little bit more about the model. And it said, I'm built on OpenAI's GPT-4 architecture, right? And then it goes in to tell me a little bit more that it's built off of GPT. And then I do have other screenshots that we're going to be sharing in the newsletter saying that it was essentially built on GPT-4 and saying that multiple times. Again, you can't take anything that you ask, even from the most capable models. You can't take it as absolute truth. All right, let's talk about a couple other things. So some capabilities and comparisons. So again, across the internet, a lot of people were talking on forums and social media with speculation that this was GPT 4.5 or GPT-5. Also, the system prompt was allegedly leaked via prompt injection, hinting that it might be a GPT-4 variant. So we got a smaller version of the system prompt. We were able to kind of extract it out of this model. We didn't get the very long one, although some other people online did. So we will share to those things. And just like I'm saying, I'm putting this out there. None of this is confirmed, but it is very interesting because, hey, if this does turn out to be GPT 4.5 or a very early version of GPT-5, then this is probably your first look at a technology that is going to change the way the world operates, right? However, let's talk about the community and the speculative response. So, one thing that is for sure is this new version of GPT-2 chatbot was extremely impressive, right? I kind of have some use case and examples that, you know, I always throw out there that normally can stump a large language model, whether they're, like logic questions, whether there's some math questions, coding, right? It was passing a lot of the ones I tried and a lot of the other ones that people, you know, on Twitter and Reddit were trying as well. So a lot of people, there's these common kind of types of problems or types of tasks that generally large language models, even the most capable ones, right? Gemini Ultra, you know, or Gemini Pro 1.5, Claude 3 Opus, GPT-4 Turbo. There's these common questions that you can ask a large language model that it will usually struggle with. And at least early testing shows that this new model did fairly well, right? It did fairly well for us not knowing what the heck it is. So it did demonstrate some superior problem-solving abilities, particularly in complex riddles and designing technical diagrams. All right, and we are going to be sharing some of those examples in the newsletter today as well. Next, it did excel in generating niche recommendations and solving intricate geometric problems without code interpreters. You know, another thing that I really was taken aback by was its ability to almost think like an agent. So something that some things that I like to test models on is I give it a actual, like sometimes a very complex task or sometimes a simple task. And I ask it to break it down in each step as if you were assigning this to team members, right? And right now, even the most capable models, which the most capable models, in my opinion, in order, are GPT-4 Turbo, right? Which is crazy because it's an older model, Claude 3 Opus, and then Gemini from Google 1.5. And even these models sometimes have problems almost kind of taking on this agent sort of role, right? But that is the future of large language models, is being agents, right? And you know, they are going to be completing tasks, and they're, you know, these you know, generative AI agents are going to be working together and talking to each other and with each other, right? So if any of you are a little dorky like me, you know, LangChain is, you know, one of the more popular agents. We actually just, you know, shared about this last week on our show. Will AI take your jobs? Yes, they will. You know, all the biggest companies, you know, Microsoft, Google, OpenAI, and Meta, they're all working on agents. So, you know, another thing that I noticed on this new model, this new GPT-2 chatbot, was kind of its way to think and respond in a way that you would want an agent to respond, the way that it could, you know, essentially reverse engineer a solution to something and break down complex tasks step by step, was pretty impressive. Again, my very informal, you know, studying of this model so far, it did a better job than, you know, some of the most capable models that are out right now. All right, let's talk a little bit about the technical and development aspects. So, technically, we don't know a lot about this. We talked about this. This, whether it's a leak or whether it's authorized, it could have originated from a researcher or developer with access to the model. In theory, it could have been a former employee gone wild. It could be the result of a hack. Or like I said, it could be very official and could be authorized. It could be a direct play. It could be from OpenAI. It could be from no one. We're going to get to that here in a second. So some users online speculated that it could be a test version of a larger 400 billion parameter model, such as Llama, or an early GPT 4.5 version. Also, it's important to distinguish, like we talked about, from a technical capacity. It is technically named a little different. GPT-2-chatbot is different than GPT-2. All right. And again, we talked that was the original model released in 2019, developed by OpenAI with 1.5 billion parameters. Legal issues. And this is another one, right? So yes, it does seem like no matter what you ask of this new chatbot, it does respond and say it is a model from OpenAI. It is based on the GPT framework. It is, you know, derived from GPT-4, right? No matter which way you ask it, you'll generally get a response, something along those lines. However, it is important to know OpenAI was denied the GPT trademark, allowing others to use it freely. So again, just because we are asking this model, hey, what are you based off of? And for the most part, it's saying OpenAI, it's saying GPT-4. There is no naming mechanism right now that says that is for true, like that says that that is for certain, because the GPT name is not trademarked, right? Technically, other people can use the GPT name, at least right now. You know, that may change here in the future, but that's important to keep in mind as well. All right. So great question here from Douglas. So as we, wrap up this episode, Douglas asking, is this only text to text or is it multimodal? It's a great question, Douglas. So the complete system prompt, which we will be sharing in our newsletter, wanted to properly, cite and source it and give credit to the person who was able to extract this, does give a nod to the fact that this is multimodal input and output. At least right now, how you can go test it out, it's obviously only text, right? Because it's in the chatbot arena. But the rumors are, or the kind of reporting out there right now from people who have been giving it a hard push, is that it is multimodal. Yes. So another question here, wouldn't we be talking about something that would be terabytes in size? If it was a leak, I would suspect that OpenAI would be able to tell who downloaded that much data. Yes, in theory, if this is a, like a 1.8 or a 2 trillion parameter model, it would be extremely large. However, like I talked about, midway through the show, is this could be, again, this could be OpenAI's kind of attempt or retort to these small models, right? And these small models are obviously much easier to download and to use, and maybe less traceable if it is a leak or if it is authorized, right? So these models that are only, a couple billion parameters, such as, Microsoft's Phi-3, Meta's Llama-3, those are much easier, right, to download and to use. Whereas, something like a GPT-4 or something with, Gemini Ultra, when there's trillions of parameters, you can't just like download that easily or quote unquote, leak it without a trace, because it is huge, right? Those kind of models with the size they are leave a gigantic footprint, where some of these smaller models, maybe not so much. All right. So let's just get into it. Hey, it's Hot Take Tuesday. Here is predictions. All right. So predictions. I don't think this is a GPT 4.5. I don't think this is GPT 5. I do think that this is from OpenAI, whether it's authorized or not. I do actually think this. So if you all remember, especially if you're an iPhone user, there was a new type of phone that Apple came out with in 2016. I believe it was sandwiched somewhere between the iPhone 6 and the iPhone 7. So what this iPhone was called was the iPhone SE. Okay. And essentially what this was, is it was an updated from an old model, and they essentially just put some new guts in it, right? So they essentially said, hey, here's a phone. We're not going to update a lot of it. We're going to keep a lot of it kind of the same and old, so it's a little more lightweight and a little cheaper, right? So they came out with this iPhone SE, which is essentially you could call it an entry-level, cheaper version of the much more expensive and much more capable, flagship iPhone of the time. If I had to make a prediction right now, I would say that's what this is. I do think that this is probably this GPT-2-chatbot. I do think this is from OpenAI, right? I've used the GPT technology since late 2020, thousands of hours. I can usually tell, even just by looking at an output, even in a chatbot arena. I'm not usually good at that, because I can usually tell which one is from GPT, like a GPT-based model or an OpenAI model, just because they kind of, use similar words, they use similar formatting, they use, similar structure, similar hangups, similar strengths, similar weaknesses. So from my, again, I was only able to play with this for maybe about an hour and a half total between when it came out yesterday and, this morning's show. This feels like almost like the iPhone SE to me. If I had to guess, I don't think this is GPT 4.5. I don't think that this is GPT 5. What I think this is a GPT, what do we want to call it? Like a GPT 4 Lite. I do think that whenever, GPT 4 Turbo gets replaced whether that is with a GPT 4.5 or a GPT 5. I do think that whatever this model is right now, this GPT 2 chatbot, I think this is actually going to be the free version. I think you know what? It's Hot Take Tuesday, so I'm coming in with some takes. That's what I think this is. I think this is the eventual replacement of the free version of ChatGPT, right? So right now it's still running on GPT 3.5 Turbo, which is, you know, pretty old. It's not that great. So if I had to guess, I would say it's one of two things. Either it is that, either it is the eventual free model, the eventual replacement, or it is OpenAI's first kind of small model, right? So whether this is, you know, has a connection to this reported potential partnership with Apple, right? That's a real capability as well. Maybe this is, you know, OpenAI's kind of answer to Phi 3 or to Meta's Llama 3, their small 7 billion parameter version. Maybe this is an answer to Google's Gemma, right? So maybe this is a small version of GPT-4, just a fine-tuned, much smaller version. Obviously, OpenAI has some of the best engineers in the world, and maybe they've figured out, like a lot of other big companies have, how to still get the most out of a model without it being enormous. So I would say if I had to make a prediction now, it is one of those two things. It is either the eventual free replacement, not the flagship quote unquote model. So when you think of the iPhone SE, that comparison, it's going to be the free version of once the next version is launched, or it is a potential model that other companies may be using when it comes to running edge AI, on-device AI. So could this be the next large language model for our iPhones? Could it be the next large language model that we can download and run locally on our Macs, the first from OpenAI? Maybe. If I had to guess, it is Hot Take Tuesday. I would guess one of those two things. All right, y'all, that is it. I know this was, normally we don't cover rumors. I think this one was important to talk about because if you haven't seen it already, we actually did get this in the newsletter yesterday, but it came out after the live show and right before we sent out the newsletter. So make sure you're reading the actual newsletter. I think we were the first people out there to get it in their newsletter because we got it, I don't know, within minutes after it was first reported online. So make sure, if you haven't already, go to youreverydayai.com. And we are going to be in our newsletter today announcing who our winners are, not just of the Meta AI Ray-Bans, which is going to go to the person who had the most referrals celebrating our 1 year anniversary. But we are also giving away to two other people, random people, not people in second and or third place. These ones are random. We're going to be giving away two 90-minute generative AI strategy sessions. These are something we don't even really advertise this, I don't think, but sometimes companies hire us, you know, big companies, small companies, startup, and they say, hey, we can't figure generative AI out. I can't even speak because of this this tooth pain here. And they hire us and we sit down, we answer their questions and kind of at least get them to a good next step. So we're going to be giving away two of those consoles that we normally charge a couple hundred dollars for. So make sure, if you haven't already, go sign up for today's newsletter. Make sure you read it. Make sure you open it. And make sure you join us tomorrow for more Everyday AI. Thanks, y'all.
That's a wrap for today's edition of Everyday AI. Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave us a rating. It helps keep us going. For a little more AI magic, visit youreverydayai.com and sign up to our daily newsletter so you don't get left behind. Go break some barriers, and we'll see you next time.